I want to reiterate my appreciation to speak to you this morning. This has been a very encouraging opportunity, not only from the members here and the elders and the preacher as well, but I've been very encouraged by each of you, and I'm thankful for your presence this morning. One of the things that I got back this morning was that I didn't speak loud enough for everyone to hear. So please don't feel like I'm yelling at you, but I am going to try to talk a little bit louder. Hopefully that will come across. And I know we don't have a bell this morning either, so I'll try to keep in mind the time as well. I think the Bible class would still be going right now if we didn't have that bell. And I'd rather have more material than not enough. I've had that problem where when I first preached, I had my lesson and I spoke it so fast, I don't think I even took a breath by the time it was over. And that was about 15 minutes. I thought it would last over an hour, but it didn't. It seemed like it was over an hour. But I did enjoy the class this morning and look forward to this lesson. Brother Ledbetter mentioned these lessons were assigned, and I'm glad for that. It's always, you never know exactly what are lessons to preach on sometimes, what the congregation needs to hear. But this lesson this morning on the spiritual family is something that is one of my favorite topics, I guess you could say. I think family is important to a lot of us, and this lesson is going to go into some of those details of the spiritual family this morning. You've probably seen me here a few times with my wife. Her family lives here in Amarillo, so we do come here from time to time. And I think this is a great opportunity that y'all are deciding to do, to hire a man to train for 2 years. Whether or not y'all select me, I'll still be here to visit from time to time. And whoever y'all do end up choosing will be very fortunate to be able to work with Brother Pope. I'm very impressed by his teaching. Looked at his writings on the internet and been here to hear his preaching. It's very effective and very useful, and I'm appreciative of that. And whoever is hired to work with him is going to be a very fortunate man, and that's a good thing. To start off here, we're talking about the spiritual family, and I thought it might be wise to contrast the spiritual with the carnal to know exactly what we're talking about here, because we all have families. Some families are larger than others, but what we're talking about here this morning is a spiritual family, not one of the flesh. And the lessons are up here if you want to write down these verses. Normally they appear as you click a button, but they're all up here right now for you to see. If we do not cover a scripture, please write it down and look at it later. If you have any questions about anything that's said or taught, I ask you to please talk to me after services. It may be that I may misspeak, or maybe you did not hear it the same way, or maybe I taught something that was false, and I don't want to do that. And so I encourage you to come to me after services and talk to me about these things, and let us open up the Word of God and study it together and see what the Word of God actually teaches. Romans chapter 7 talks about the law of God, and it's a spiritual law. This is in chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, "Has then that is what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, which might appear sin, was producing death in me, though what is good through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law, that is, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me." Verse 18 says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present for me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, If I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who would deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And here I just wanted to point out the contrast between the spiritual and the carnal, the law of God and our bodies. If you go on to chapter 8, it talks about those who would be sons of God or children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Brethren, therefore, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So here it talks about us following God, and in verse 14 it says that as many are led by the Spirit of God, as we follow the Word of God, which is revealed to us, and we have to this day, as we follow His Word, we've become His children to be sons of God, it says in verse 14. And it talks about the spirit of adoption in verse 15. We become His children. We are not physically born children of God. We become children of God as we follow the Spirit's instructions in His Word. And then it says in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And it goes on to say, heirs with Christ. And there are blessings that come through this, and we're going to get into these points as we go through this lesson. The next point I want to look at are those who are spiritually discerned, and this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're looking at verse 12. It says, For we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been given freely to us by God. Verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So again, the lesson this morning is regarding the spiritual family, and we're talking about some of these things that relate to spirituality, those things that are not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Also, we can read about this contrast between the spiritual and carnal in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, chapter 10 and verse 3, it says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And it says in verse 6, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So this talks about the spiritual lives that we are to live and the war that we are to fight. It's not a physical warfare, but it's a spiritual warfare. And we're relating this to the spiritual family. We can also read about this same warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It talks about the armor of God here. We're just looking at one verse. It says, in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our battle that we have on this earth is not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. And it's one that we're involved in. The spiritual, we look at the blessings that come from following Christ. This is in Ephesians chapter 1. When we talk about this spiritual family, there are blessings that come from this. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the Lord, be the God our the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." And in verse 6 it says, "To the praise and glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." And so this is a scripture that many people have trouble with from time to time, especially those in denominations or in other religions. It talks about how we were chosen in verse 4 before the foundation of the world. Before this world was ever created, it says that we were chosen, that we should be holy and without blame. And it makes you wonder how this is done. Some people believe this is talking about predestination, which is not what it's talking about. We're not chosen individually as individuals to become children of God. But God had a plan in the beginning that those who would serve him would be called Christians. And those are the ones that were predestined to follow him. Those who choose to become Christians, to follow him in Christ Jesus. And that goes on. That thought goes on in verse 5, talking about predestining us to adoption. And talking about the spiritual family, adoption is something to think about. We are adopted. We are adopted as his children, as God's children. And we're going to talk about this further, but it is an amazing thing to think about, to be adopted as God's children, as we do his will. And also, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This talks about the wisdom that we can receive by walking in the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 9 it says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to God, thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." So here it says that we should be filled with knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is something that we get as we study God's word and do his will. And the last thing I want to look at was talking about spiritual songs. This is referenced in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 15, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." So again, these are things that we should be doing as we walk in the Spirit and serve God. And the last verse I have is a corresponding verse in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, talking about these spiritual songs that we are to sing. It says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in hymns, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." And that's what we did this morning. I do appreciate the good song service that we have this morning and the good singing that is here. So let's go into the spiritual family here. This is in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the family. And it says there's one in heaven and earth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory and to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with the saints what is the width, the length, and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." It goes on to say in verse 20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." And so focusing on verse 15 at the beginning of this reading that we had, it talks about the whole family in heaven and earth. And that's what we're talking about this morning. It's a spiritual family. When you become a child of God, you become a member of his family. And there are many parts of this. There's the local congregation that you become a part of. You become a member of that group of people who are also children of God. But you also become a member of the Lord's church, which is something that comprises all the Christians in the world and those who have died in the faith as well. And we see this in Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. We see here that the name that we as children should be wearing. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." So here, this gives us some insight to the name that we should be wearing as children of God. It says here that they were first called Christians, and that's the name that we should be wearing as well. Also, I wanted to touch on the Godhead. This is a subject that is a lesson in itself, but I wanted to show what the scriptures teach about that in regard to the family. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 is the first reference to it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. It says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." And so here we see a reference to the Godhead, and we'll see that the Godhead is made up of three parts: God the Father, which is Jehovah, Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is God the Spirit. We can also see this referenced in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, "For in him all the fullness of for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And lastly, I think that another good verse that'll help us understand the Godhead is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 'It's important to understand when you're talking about the spiritual family, God is part of the spiritual family, so that's why we're going into the detail of talking about the Godhead. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Here it says, "For there are three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these are one." And, of course, we understand the Father to be Jehovah. I'll leave these verses for you to look at for a reference in Matthew chapter 23. We're not going to read that this morning. Jesus Christ is referenced here as the Word and the Holy Spirit. Again, we have those here on the chart. In order to become a part of the spiritual family, you must be born again. And we can read about this in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 has Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and explaining to him something that he had a hard time understanding. I think we may have a hard time understanding as well from time to time. It says in verse 3 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6 says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you that you must be born again." And he goes on to give some more description about this born again. So I think it's important to point out here that it says that you must be born again to in order to see the kingdom of God. This is not something that we have a choice in the matter. This is something that's required of us. We must be born again. And he talks about it in verse 5, talking about being born of the water and of the Spirit. And then here it's talking about baptism. Baptism is where you're buried in water and the blood of Christ washes away your sins. And when it talks about the Spirit, we are directed to be baptized by the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that we are to be baptized. This is not something that man has come up with. This is something that God has asked us to do, and it's something that we must do in order to become a member of His spiritual family. Also, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 talks. I always thought that this applied to those who were new Christians, but if you look at this scripture, it actually applies to all of us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Actually, I'll get to that point in just a moment. It says in verse 22 of 1 Peter chapter 1, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of God endures forever. Now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you." And again, as we read God's word, we can understand that we need to be born again to follow the dictates of His word. One of those things is to be baptized. And when we do so, we're born again. The scripture I want to look at for those who are Christians is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, as you continue reading here, it talks about newborn babes. And when you become a Christian, you're a baby. You may be an older person. You may be in your 50s or 60s or 70s. But in God's eyes, when you become a Christian, you're a babe. You're His child. And from there you grow. And then there are different people are at different levels of growth at different times. But we should always be striving to grow towards maturity, towards a perfect man, not a man without sin, but a man who understands what God would have him to do. And to be a complete man, as you face trials and temptations of life, you can go to God's word and know how to handle those situations and be faithful to Him and serve Him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And so here in verse 2, I always thought that this applied to those newborn babes, those who were born again, that this scripture specifically belonged to them. But if you look at it, it actually applies to all of us. We are all at different levels of spiritual growth. And in order to grow, it says that we should desire the pure milk of the word. So as we study God's word, we grow in His family. We are no longer babes. Of course, we're always called children of God, but we're not considered. Born again. When you're born again, you're a newborn babe in Christ. Here it says that as you study God's word, you grow, and this applies to everyone. This does not just apply to those who become Christians. It also applies to those who've been Christian for many years, because this is how we grow. We grow by studying God's word, and it talks about the desire of the pure milk of the word as newborn babes. And being a new father, this is something that I've come to understand. These children, these babies, there's nothing really that you can do to quiet them sometimes until you give them milk. You can carry them around. You can do all kinds of things. But until they get the milk, they're not going to be quiet. And again, that's something that applies to each of us, whether we're new Christians or people who've been Christians for a long time. We should have that same desire. Just as a child desires milk from their mother, we should have that same desire for God's word in our lives, no matter how long we've been Christians, because it's from God's word that we're going to grow. And that's what he wants us to do. Also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about those who were new Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." And he goes on to talk about the problem that was going on there. But here we were looking at babes in Christ. Again, those who become Christians, the Word of God teaches that they are babes in Christ. But you can also be a babe in Christ if you've been a Christian for many years. If you fail to desire the pure milk of the Word and study the Word of God and grow as he would have you to, here we see that these people were acting carnal. They were not focusing on the spiritual life. They were focusing on their carnal life, which is really all that a baby can do. They can't really do anything more than that. And lastly, in Hebrews chapter 5, we can read about babes in Christ as well. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, "For this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who takes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So again, here it's not speaking of those who become Christians, those who have been Christians for a while and not growing in a good way. We should be looking to God's word to study. And there are some things in his word that are difficult. Maybe these things require more study and maybe talked about here as solid food. But this is the food that we need to be able to grow to maturity when we're born again. Continuing to talk about the spiritual family, the Bible talks about those who are sons of God. We can read this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9 is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. And here Jesus is talking about the Beatitudes, those people who are to be his children. And here when it says blessed, it's talking about those who are happy. The word blessed means happy. So when you read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, "Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And so as we read the word of God, we can realize that the life that we're living is at odds with the life that God would have us to have. And we can have peace when we reconcile ourselves to God by doing his will. And here it says those who are peacemakers, those who become Christians and hopefully teach others as well the gospel, they're called sons of God. When you have this peace from God, when you reconcile your life with the word of God and do his will, you become a son of God. We can also see this in Romans chapter 8. I appreciate you following along with me. I know there's lots of scriptures here to keep up with. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So this tells us that those who follow the Word of God, which is the Spirit of God that we have today and we can follow as we read and do his will, it says these are sons of God. And what a blessing it is to be called a son of God. It's something that we might forget about from time to time, but there are a lot of great things that we'd like to be called in this life. A lot of people would like to be called president, or you can think of many titles that you'd like to be called. But the greatest title that you could be called would be called a son of God. And we see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. If you go down to verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." So again, what a privilege it is to be called the Son of God. And we're going to look at this further in this next point when it talks about children of God. John chapter 1 and verse 11. John chapter 1 and verse 11. Here we have the Gospel of John talking about Jesus when he came into the world. It says in John chapter 1 and verse 11, speaking of Jesus, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Here we see him talking about the Jews. He says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So here it talks about those who believe in his name. And also we talked about baptism briefly earlier. We see that it's also a requirement for those to become children of God, to believe in Jesus' name. And I think many of our denominational friends teach that this is all that you need to do. Again, this is not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that you must also be baptized. And there are other things that we'll talk about in the next few moments as well. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Here it talks about becoming joint heirs with Christ, which, again, is something that's really hard to fathom or imagine, but it's true of those of the spiritual family who are sons of God or children of God. Romans 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. So here we see that we can become an heir of God. We talk about an inheritance whenever a family member dies. It's a sad thing, but they usually leave some things behind for their family. And so this is something that we have by being heirs of God. We have an opportunity when this life is over. This is not the end of our life. We have an opportunity to be with God in heaven forever throughout all eternity. And this is with Christ, which is just a hard thing to fathom, to be on that same level with him, to be joint heirs with him in that way, to be with Christ and with the Father in heaven. Also in Philippians chapter 2, it talks about children of God, that they should be blameless and harmless. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Here it says, do all things without murmuring, disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So here we have a command here in verse 14 to do all things without murmuring and disputing. And I know this is something that is a hard thing to do sometimes, but we must follow what the Word of God says. This is a command here to us. And it says that when we do these things, that we may become blameless and harmless children of God. And that's what we should be. Also, 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3. This is probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible, which is kind of hard to pick a verse that is a favorite, but there's just a great expression here as you read 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And I'll stop there. I don't think sometimes we realize how much of a privilege it is to be called children of God. We have commandments to follow to become children of God. And as we become children of God, we follow the word of God. But it is a privilege. It is something that we should be thankful for at all times. To be able to call God our Father and be called His children is just such a blessing. And again, what he says here, he says that we should be called children of God is such a blessing. And continuing on, it says, therefore, the Word does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we shall know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, talking about Christ and his return. If you go on down to verse 10 of 1 John chapter 3, it gives a good idea of those who are children of God. It says, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So here it talks about those who practice righteousness. Those are the children of God. And it talks about those that we should have love for our brothers. And we're going to talk about this in the next few slides as well. Luke chapter 12, again, contrasts the spiritual family between the physical family. And these things do not have to be against each other. Some of us may be in a family who are of Christians, and that's a really good thing. But that's not the way it is for everybody. There's a lot of people who's maybe one of their family members are Christians, or maybe their parents aren't Christians, but they found the Word of God through a Christian who introduced them to the Bible and to the Church of Christ. Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, we have Jesus speaking about his coming here. He says, "Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. From now on, five in the house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And here it's not saying that that this is the way it has to be in all families, but most importantly, what it's saying is that God has to come first in our lives. God comes before everybody in our family. And if we're all putting God first in our lives, then that's the kind of family that God would have us to have as a physical family, and not to let our physical family override God. Whenever someone doesn't have the respect from God that they should, or the respect from his word, then you're going to have problems like this in a physical family. And that's what he's talking about, those who do not put God first. So this brings us to the subject of brethren, and this again, this subject is a very important subject to me. I come from a kind of a small family. My brother, I have one brother who's older than me. He's not a Christian. My mother is a Christian. She's kind of older and has some trouble, but she is a Christian. My father has been gone for a long time. He passed away a long time ago. So family is something that's very important to me. And so, you know, as you become a Christian, you become a child of God, and you get to know other people who are Christians in a local church or maybe in other places. This applies to Christians everywhere. Even brethren that we've never met in other places are Christians, and those are part of our spiritual family. We can go to these places. I recently went to India for four weeks and studied with brethren over there. They are all part of our spiritual family. They are Christians. They are serving God. Never met him before until now, and may never see him again, but they are part of our spiritual family. So I wanted to look at what Christ had to say about his family. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus was born. He had a human body just like us. He was God in the flesh. He was 100% God and 100% man. And I can't explain it to you any more than that. That's what the Word of God teaches. But here we had some that were talking about his physical family, and he addressed their question about his physical family in Matthew chapter 12 in verse 46. It says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with him. And one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you.'" And verse 48, it says, "But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my brother and who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" So here we can see, as we do God's will, it talks about it in verse 50, which is revealed in his word, we become brothers and sisters and mothers to Christ as we do God's will. And again, this is something that's really hard to fathom, because Jesus was the greatest person that ever lived. And to be able to call him your brother in this way, as we do God's will, is such a blessing. We know that Jesus is our Lord, and we don't put him in a lighter way by calling him our brother, but it's a blessing to be a part of his family. Also, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about those who would be daughters of Abraham. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we know Abraham is someone who's revered, spoken highly of in the Old Testament. It was him through the blessing, the seed promise came through, where Christ came from. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 3, it says, do not let your beauty be that of outward adorning, of arranging of the hair, of wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. And verse 6 says, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So here it talks about those. It talks about how Sarah obeyed Abraham. And it says, whose daughters you are, if you do good and not afraid with any terror. So again, as we do God's will, these are some of the blessings that come through being a spiritual family. Mark chapter 10 talks about leaving everything. When you become a Christian, you turn your back on your old life of sin and choose to serve God. And in doing so, you may be asked to leave many things of this world. As you live your Christian life, you don't walk with everybody else. You don't talk with everybody else. You don't do the things that the world does. You do the things that God would have you to do, revealed in His Word. And so this is mentioned in Mark chapter 10, in verse 29. It says, so Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. So here it says that we may be asked to do this to become a Christian or in our Christian life. There may be some who do not value God as we do and want to destroy our faith and want us not to serve God. We may have to turn our backs on that and to leave that in order to serve God. But God is going to provide that for us in our spiritual family. He says that if we are required to leave any of these things, that we will have these things. But he also says in verse 30, with persecutions. So yes, there is persecutions involved in becoming a Christian. It's not always an easy life. Sometimes it is difficult going through these trials and temptations that it talked about. You might have to leave these situations behind. Luke chapter 2 and verse 48 talks about the Father's business. Luke chapter 2 and verse 48, and it's kind of interesting to think about Christ as a child, obeying his parents or things like that. He had a job to do while he was on this earth, and he knew what that job was. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 48, it says, this is after he had disappeared and done some teaching. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statements which he spoke to them. So here he said he needed to be about his father's business. He was not talking about his physical father. They were the ones that were seeking him. He was talking about God, the Father in heaven, Jehovah God, that we read about in the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. Someone else who is spoken of highly is a woman named Phoebe in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16 and verse 1. Been trying to get my wife to name our, if we have a daughter in the future, another daughter named Phoebe, but she will not let me do that. It's a good name, spoken highly of in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. It goes on to talk about further. But here, I just wanted to point out that Phoebe is our sister. They referenced her as their sister. They were not, she was not in their family. She was not their fleshly sister. They were a part of the spiritual family, and she was a sister in Christ, as we talk about brethren, brothers in Christ, and sisters in Christ. And also, let's talk about church members in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. We're coming to the end of our lesson. I appreciate your attention. 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, the older women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity." So here it talks about in a spiritual family, those who are older, you have respect for them, and if they need to be if they need to be talked to, you exhort them as a father. The younger men, if you need to talk to them about some situation, you talk to them as brothers, not just as people. Just if you think about it, a lot of us have nothing in common. The thing that really that we have in common is our love of Christ, our love of God's word, and our desire to do His will. So these are the things that we have in common. If you take away Christ, many of us would have nothing in common. I found a lot of people in the church that I have nothing in common with except that we're Christians. And that's probably the best thing that you could ask for, to have something in common with. That is a love for God and His word. And then James chapter 2 is talking about brethren as well. James chapter 2 talking about faith and works, a very good chapter. It makes a reference here in verse 15. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? And we see that it doesn't profit anything. If you see a brother or sister in need and you say, "Be warmed and be filled," it doesn't do them any good. But this is something that the brethren can do. This is something that brethren do whenever you find yourself in a situation when you are in need. That's what the church is here for, to help you. If you're in a situation where you lose your job and you're going to lose your house, or you don't have any food on the table, this is what God has provided for those who are Christians. They can get help from the church, from their spiritual family. This is something that God has established. That's all that I have for you this morning. I do appreciate your attention. One of the things we talked about this morning was a spiritual family. And in order to be a member of the spiritual family, we talked about being born again. If you've heard some things this morning that struck your attention that you'd like to know more about, please let's talk about these things. Again, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came here, lived a perfect life, was killed. But that wasn't the end of it. He was not just killed. He was resurrected. He was buried in the ground for 3 days, and He was resurrected, and He's now with the Father in heaven, which makes Him different from every other man that walked on this earth. Not only that He led a perfect life and died, but He was also resurrected. If you believe this, we ask you to come forward confessing this, that you confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Also, repent of your sins. Recognize the life that you're living is not a life that's pleasing to God, and choose now to serve Him. And also, we talked about baptism. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 says, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." This is different from what the denominations teach today. They teach that belief alone is necessary for salvation, but we see the Word of God teaches otherwise. Also, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins." If you haven't done this already, we ask that you seriously consider this while we stand and sing the invitation song, Selected.